You are listening to an online message from Limbrook Wood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrook Wood BC. Thank you for tuning in.
So last week we were looking at an overview of Hosea. And we gave out some stones and we looked at a map. I don't know if you remember the map that we looked at. I've got it up on the screen here. And it kind of gave us that overview of the whole Bible, really. We had coming down from creation, where we got the southern kingdoms and northern kingdoms splitting, where that went off, and we can actually see the exile into Babylon. That continues through to the intertestamental period. Then that carries on down into the New Testament. And what we actually saw was at the end of that, that actually goes back through. We can see that northern kingdom on the right-hand side of the screen up there. As a result of people's actions, that nation, those northern kingdoms, those 10 tribes dispersed. They ended. And it's quite tragic, really, that that has actually happened. Now, some people have asked, can I have a copy of this? If you want a copy, there are some of those at the back, and that's where my message was hiding this morning. So remember to check you got all the pages. But if you want one of those, help yourself. If there aren't enough, by all means, go and help yourself. There's a few of the books missing in there, and there's a little caveat on the top left that said dates are approximate, so you can't hold it exactly to that. But that gives you a really, really nice overview of what happened. But that kingdom came to an end. The northern kingdom came to an end. The people had broken their covenant with God. So therefore, that has consequences. And he says, for you are not my people, and I am not your gods. And it makes for quite heavy reading, really, because on a Sunday morning you want a nice cheerful message. But actually, look, there are consequences. When God makes an agreement with us, he keeps his side of the bargain, and we've got to do the same. God is good all the time. Amen. He is, isn't he? It's difficult. I know sometimes, you know, people do have some really hard situations. But God's people had forgotten him. They'd forgotten that every good thing they had come from him. It's only when that was broken, that covenant, and God withdrew, that they suddenly then realized and said, we have forgotten. But they hadn't just broken his laws. They hadn't just broken his commands. And the thing that really struck me, he's our father. He's daddy. And we broke his heart. And that really struck me, because sometimes we get tempted and we go, broke the rules again. But actually, if we can remember there's a father behind that, our heavenly father, and we break his heart as well. That really challenged me. Last week, we saw in a little bit more detail about how God changed names of Hosea's children. They were changed from names that were quite negative or had negative meanings to ones that spoke about positivity and restoration. And it spoke about how God goes after us. He initiated that. He makes the first move in restoring that relationship. And Dave's mentioned it already, which is lovely this morning. I was really struck that as names were given, new names were given. I was given a new name when I became a Christian. Someone spoke that to me from the words of Scripture. But when I got married, I actually adopted my birth name. I adopted the name that I'd been brought up with. And I ended up with a new name as well. It's a double-barreled one. They're both mine. It sounds a bit posh, but that's what happened. It's trendy nowadays, apparently. But I was given this new name. And when I was led to that, there was something very special to me, because all those things that had been spoken over me, you know, as a child, I had slightly darker skin than most kids. I loved to be outdoors. You never caught me indoors, ever. And I had a lovely color to my skin. But I was an outcast. I think my name was Packy all through school. They just put me down, whatever they could do. And then God gave me a new name. And last week we were given those stones, and the words from Revelation 2:17 we read out said this: whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give some of the hidden manna. And this is it: I will also give that person a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to the one who receives it. And for those that were here last week, you've got a stone. And I hope, as Dave has said this morning, God has given you that new name. What does he want to speak over you? And we had a time to reflect before communion. What is it that God would say over you? Claim that. It's quite interesting. Nikki was out the back with the girls last week, and they were actually looking at self-esteem, the teen group. We all remember too well, don't we, the things that are spoken over us. I can still remember the names they used to call me. How often do we remember the names that God calls us? How often do we recall God's promises? And I think sometimes it's the horrible names that stick in our minds as opposed to the nice things that God speaks over us. Do we remember? Remember is the key word that we're going to look at. So the reflection this week, as I dived in a minute ago wondering where I was, this week's reflection is called Forgetting God. And like I say, do you realize that forgetting God is actually one of our biggest enemies? It's probably one of our biggest struggles. It could be actually the root of most of our issues is forgetting God. And I want to unpack that this morning because I think you'll find this quite interesting. So I spoke a minute ago about our minds, those tape recorder minds that play scenarios over and over and over again. You know the sort of things where he said, she said. It drops in our heads, and then we go, hang on a minute, and we play out this whole unspoken conversation with this other person. We haven't seen them yet, but we've had the whole conversation already with them. He said, she said. These things come into our minds. Our minds do this. It might also do the I can't or the I won't. I can't do that. There's no way I can do that. Or I won't do that. I never will. And that can disable us, can't it, from kingdom work. There's no way I can do that. Or we do the try that. Yeah, we've tried that, been there, never happened, never work. Might be some bondages, things from the past. We've been there, done it, forget it, doesn't work. And then there's that big word, but. Somebody says something to us and we go, oh, yeah, but. What would happen if? And then we play out this whole thing again. Fear creeps in and it disables us. We've got minds that are very, very good at doing these things. We can play entire stories out. Not to embarrass you, but you can put your hand up and you're like, who plays out a story in their mind like a movie when it comes in? Anybody do that? Yeah? Great. So we're all in the same boat. Happy days. You look back on it, don't you, go, that was utterly ridiculous. How on earth did I get myself there? I can't believe I actually thought that and played the whole thing out. But our minds are incredible, and they do that. In the light of the Manchester bombings that took place this last week, I don't know how many people have been out and about this week and something's happened and they've gone, ooh, someone's parked a car in the wrong place over the entrance of the shop. Now the security staff are looking a bit worried. They're getting people to move the car. Can someone really come and move this car? Not just like now, but really urgently. Come on. And your mind starts going, well, what will I do? Shall I call my loved ones? What's going to happen? And you can find yourself in these scenarios. You're going, oh, what's going on? Fear creeps in. I don't know if you've been out and about this week and you've looked at something or seen something, but it's there at the back of our minds. And our minds are really good at making this stuff up. Really, really good. I read a short article by John Piper, and he confessed that he also wrestled with similar thoughts. And he summed up the process like this. He says, if we don't call to mind what God has said about himself and about us, we languish. Oh, how I know this from painful experience. Don't wallow in the mire of godless messages. He goes on to say, the point is not if these thoughts are true or false. That bit doesn't matter. Your mind will always find a way of making them true. Unless you call to mind something which is greater. God is the God of the impossible. And I love this quote, and I hopefully it's up on the screen. I can't remember if I put it there. Reasoning your way out of an impossible situation is not as effective, there it is, as reminding your way out of it. I'll give you a moment to think about that. Reasoning your way out of an impossible situation is not as effective as reminding your way out of it. What's there? There's an impossible situation. Do we try and make sense of this thing and reason something out? Our mind will go off and do all sorts of crazy things. But actually reminding your way out of it. What does that mean? Reminding our way out of it. Our mind is incredibly powerful and complex, but we can use it effectively. We need to tame it and tell it what to call to mind. What are you going to remember in this situation? And remembering is a very powerful tool. There's a song that always goes around my head. Our God is greater, our God is stronger, our God is higher than any other. I find myself in an impossible situation. I go, hang on a minute. Our God is greater, our God is stronger, our God is higher than that. It's a song that goes around my head. Whenever I get in that situation, it comes back in and it reminds me. Lamentations 3, 21 to 22 says, yet this I call to mind and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. That's not a bad one to remember, is it? Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope because of what I've remembered. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. Do we remember well? Do you remember well? Are you good at remembering? I had a bump on the head last week, and I'm not remembering too well at the moment. But do remember, take your broken situations, your fears, and don't reason your way out of them. Remember your way out of them. Declare God over them. He is greater, stronger, more powerful. He's mighty. He already has the victory. He has already won. That's a far better thing to remember in a difficult place than trying to work out how you're going to get out of it. The psalmist says in Psalm 110, verse 1, he says, rest in God, sit with him, and he will make the enemy your footstool. Sit with God. There's a work in progress. He will make your enemy a footstool. You don't want to let the enemy have that conquer position where he puts you in a place of fear and tells you otherwise. Ephesians 1 reminds us of the promise, similar on the lines of Psalm 110. It says, he, God, raised him, Jesus, from the dead and seated him at his right hand. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body. Now, Andrew is going to remember that passage for as long as you live, because when we had the well ministry training, he got Andrew, strong as he is, to lie down on the floor. But with Morris standing on top of his, I don't think it was quite your head, was it? It was your shoulders, back of your neck. That will do. That was enough to stop you, wasn't it? Yeah, Morris was there. He was under his feet. He's got the victory. He spoke about how the battles were won, and when the kings would come, they would go under, they'd be put under your feet. Jesus has that victory. Do we remember that? Let's not forget that truth. Let's not forget God. Let's not forget his finished work. Let's not listen to the lies that the enemy says and wants to deceive us with. And this is where Hosea comes back in. It's a bit of a heavy topic, I know, for a cheery Sunday morning, but God's people forgot about him. And I ask the question, do we live in a nation now that's forgotten God on the whole? Are we, as Christians, as believers, capable of forgetting God? Think about it for a moment. Are you capable of forgetting God? If you want to look in your Bibles at 2 Peter, right at the beginning of 2 Peter 1 and verses 12 to 14, we can see what Peter has to say. 2 Peter 1, 12 to 14. Good little marker, this one. So I will always remind you of these things. And this is good, this encourages us. Even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have, so he's recognizing where we are, not belittling us, but I think it's right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside as the Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. Let us remind one another. We broke bread last week, and Jesus commanded us to break bread as often as we gather together until he comes again. Why does he say to do that? Because I think we're forgetful. I genuinely think we're forgetful. Jesus knew we are forgetful, even as believers. So it's not a personal attack on anybody to say, oh, you're a forgetful person. He just knows that the enemy is cunning. He knows we need help, and he knows that we need encouragement. John 14 says this. This is Jesus talking. He said, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make a home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. The words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But you're not on your own. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. We need reminding, and the Holy Spirit will do that. So I don't want this to be all about me talking this morning. I do want you to interact. I like interactive services. Some people are sitting there saying, he better not make me move. You're not going to have to move this morning. But I want you to pause for a moment, and I just want you to recall something. I don't want to be passive this morning. I want you to engage in this. I want you to remember a time in your life where God showed up, where God did something. And it doesn't necessarily have to be the miraculous, and it might be the miraculous. It might be something that formed part of your testimony, and you say, oh, this is the thing. Do you know, God just... But I want you to think about that for a moment. I'm going to give you a chance to think about that. And once you've thought about that, I just want you to say a quiet prayer and just thank God for that moment. If it helps to close your eyes, you do that. I'm going to give you a moment. Something's come to mind, a picture or something. Just maybe close your eyes for a moment. Just really thank God for that moment. And as that part of remembering, you can keep your eyes closed. As part of that remembering, I want you to imagine that is now a tool or a weapon in your hands. And maybe just for a moment say, Holy Spirit, show me where I've got struggles in my life and I can speak that truth of that situation I just remembered into that. You might be fearing something that's coming up this week. There might be a past wound. But remember God into that situation. You see, the people Hosea was speaking to had forgotten God. There was a warning many years before. Deuteronomy 6:12 says, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of slavery. But we read in Hosea 8:14, right at the end of that line, that map, it says, Israel has forgotten his maker, and built palaces. Nothing wrong with palaces. Palaces are really nice. But is that better than God? They'd forgotten him. So the first thing I want you to take away this morning, don't forget your maker. Don't forget the one who made you. If you've got any difficult situations coming, if you've got anything, remember how God has brought you this far. It's encouragement to us, isn't it? He's brought us this far. Second thing I want to look at this morning. Now, whether you engage in this or not, we do live in a world of digital TV, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. There's so many now, Instagram, whatever social media that you choose, you can actually tune into whatever you want to hear. Actually, from pretty much anywhere in the world to anything that's going on in the world. Unless it's BA, of course, and the computers go down, but that's another story. But if we go back to how our minds work, how they craft those crazy ideas, those lies that sometimes seem to go around in our heads, if you actually want to go out and look on some of the social media platform, if you had a crazy idea, you can find somebody that agrees with you. In fact, you can probably find quite a few people that agree with you. That same sort of paranoia, that same sort of wisdom. I mean, top tip this morning, if you've got something wrong with you, never go online and try and look up your symptoms. You'll be amazed at what you've already got. You've got the plague, you've got everything. You know what I mean? Things that have been died out years ago. That's what you've got. And our minds will go, ugh. We spoke about the authority of God's word at the last All Age service and how we need to know what his word says. We mustn't forget it. What happened to the people in Hosea's day? They forgot and there were consequences. If we went down the other line, we went down that line to the right. If we went down the other side, Jeremiah also brought a strong word to Judah. That was the other branch on the map. This is what he said to the southern kingdom, who were heading the same way as the northern kingdom. Jeremiah 13:25 says, "This is your lot, the portion I've decreed for you, declares the Lord. Because you have forgotten me and trusted in false gods." That's your lot. This isn't going to work out well for you. The people had listened to lies and not the word of God. Judgment and exile to Babylon was on the cards. That was going to come in his lifetime. And the question again to make us think this morning, is God's word written on your heart? If you had to call to mind a favorite passage of scripture, a favorite verse, a favorite story, do you have one? Okay. So what I want you to do, there's people around each of you, take 1 minute and tell somebody what your favorite verse or your favorite story is. And it doesn't have to be a long explanation. I'll give you an example. I loved Ephesians 4:12, to equip God's people for works of service. I've loved that verse since I don't know when. And here I am, called to be a pastor. Wow. That's how long it takes. Have a think for a moment. You're going to get to know each other a little bit more this morning. Have you got a verse? Is God's word written on your heart? And if it isn't, how are you going to call it to mind? Now, it might be, and it's not to put anybody down here, this is not a test, but it's an interesting challenge. Think about it. Maybe there's a story. You go, there's that bit with that bloke with these lions, and I love that one. That's good enough. I like that. 1 minute, go. Have you managed to share something? It's an interesting challenge. It's not to put anybody down, but it is to say, have you got that? If you haven't got a verse that you could go, do you know what? Because our lives can demonstrate so much, can't it? We can say, look, this is my story. I know this to be true. I've lived it. But actually, if it's God's word that has the authority, as we spoke about the other week, and the power to change lives, we've got to speak that to other people. We've got to know it. And it's important. And the thing is, it's so exciting. Who loved sharing their verse a minute ago? Good. A number of people. A number of hands ago. It's just so exciting. This is God's word. I could build my life on this. I could hang absolutely anything on that. My whole life, I can hang on that because it's God's word, because it's true, and I can never be robbed of that. That's it. I think that's so exciting. I genuinely do. So if you haven't got that verse, you need to get into the scripture and say, Lord, just open that up for me. Give me a passion for your word so that when I come to church, I've got my Bible with me because it's so important. Look, it's got the word of God in it. And then we can speak God's word to other people. I think that's the best argument to have. Look, hey, I'm just the messenger. You take it up with God. That's what he says, you know? It lets you off the hook. Let's not forget God. Let's not forget God's words. The last thing we need to look at this morning, we'll look at, I know time's running away. We need to be careful with pursuing satisfaction for the temporary. Hosea 13:6 says, when I fed them, and this harps back to our reading earlier, when I fed them, they were satisfied. When they were satisfied, they became proud, then they forgot me. When I fed them, this is God speaking, they were satisfied. When they were satisfied, they became proud. Then they forgot me. Now I know, and I know a number of people in the room, it's the difficult things in life, actually, that really shape us. Those are the things that really make us hold on to God and his promises, really, with every ounce of strength that we've got. And in that moment, for those that have been through that, did that strengthen your faith or weaken your faith? See, generally, it strengthens. For some, it can be a real testing time. Have they remembered God? Have they remembered his word? It's a question. In Hosea's time, they mocked him. They were saying, actually, we're doing all right, Hosea. Why don't you just leave us alone? It's a time of plenty. We've got everything that we need. We're doing all right, thank you very much. In actual fact, we've made all these gods as well, small g, and we built all these altars for them absolutely everywhere, under any tree, every mountain top. Hey, it's all there. We're doing all right, Hosea. Have a look at your own life. Not doing so good, are you? Has anyone ever said that to you as a Christian? Oh, Christian, are you? How's that working out for you? We were praying out the back this morning and I was struck by some words about saying, you know, the storms of life that come along. Do I want to go through those storms with Jesus? Or do I want to go through them on my own? All the things that you're going through at the moment, people can say to us, where is your God? If there really was a God, he wouldn't let this happen or that happen. There wouldn't be this sickness, that sickness. This person wouldn't have died. You can keep your God. How did that work out for the people in Hosea's day? Not too well. It was their downfall, their comfort and pride in all they had done. Look how clever we are. It was in that moment that they fell. They'd forgotten God, and when they needed him, he wasn't to be found. So, as Christians, are our lives meant to be full of comfort and full bellies? There's nothing wrong with those things, but is that what it's all about? Or do we walk as close to God as we possibly can? Otherwise, we're going to have that Sunday afternoon feeling. I love the Sunday afternoon feeling. After you've had that Sunday lunch and the curtains are coming down and you're thinking, oh, shall I go with it or shall I go and cut the lawn or whatever you have to do? Do we want to live our lives like that? See, people in Hosea's day, they were fed, they were well, they had plenty, they became proud and they forgot God. Are you in a comfortable position right now where you don't need God? You see, I don't know about you, but thinking about forgetting God probably is one of our biggest battles. If you think about whatever situation you're in, when you're in that situation, do you instantly remember God and his promises or anything? Or do you forget and you go down some crazy route that your mind goes down? What is it that we call to mind when we're in those difficult situations? And maybe that's a challenge for us this morning. I'd never thought that I'd forgotten God in those situations. I've forgotten him. In that moment, I forgot his promises, I forgot his word, I forgot everything he's ever done for me. And are we on our own with this? No, look at the Israelites, they're great. You know, wow, look at that, a rock, and all this water's coming out. And they go, who? God? Never, no. You know, I mean, it's just the things people had seen. And they forgot him instantly. We will face many battles in this life, but have you ever considered that one of your greatest battles might be that you've forgotten God? Those words of John Piper again, I think they're really lovely. Reasoning your way out of an impossible situation is not as effective as reminding your way out of it. You know, before that anger builds up in us, before we lose that moment, before our minds go off into something which we just kind of go, oh, I've gone down that route again. What is it that you're going to call to mind? What is it that you're going to remember? Armor of God. I'm always going to remember you dressed up in the full armor of God. But what does your spiritual toolkit look like? What is that sword? Is it sharp? And if you've taken a moment this morning to remember what God's done for you. It sharpens your sword. What is your sword? It's God's word. Have you got it? Remember who God is and what he has said, and put your trust in him. That's your takeaway for this morning. What is it that you're going to call to mind when you find something difficult this week?
You are listening to an online message from Limbrook Wood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrook Wood BC. Thank you for tuning in.